Okay, I want to start off with an experiment today. I'm going to ask a question, and everybody has to answer the question for themselves, but don't tell anybody else what you're answering inside of your head, and certainly don't tell me. I don't want to know. But the question has to do with the big three. The big three are those three people who overtook Bill Gates and what's the name of the other guy? Who's the Warren Buffett? Now they've got these big three guys, Bezos and Zuckerberg and who's the third one? Musk, right? And they're all, they're all fighting, you know, who's got the most money? And they're all obnoxious and they're all rude and, okay, fine, I'm jumping to the end. My question is there a part of you somewhere deep inside that admires these people? I'm not talking about their meanness. I'm not talking about their arrogance. I'm not talking about the way they conduct themselves. Of course you don't, right? And I'm not talking about their industriousness either, or their hasmada, because that you do, right? Well, one person told me is one of the most disgusting things I ever heard in my life, but he wasn't talking about himself. He says, somebody I'm very close with says that one of his role models in life is Hitler, yimach shmoy. Why? Because he had a tremendous amount of willpower and a tremendous amount of energy, and he, more or less, was very successful in accomplishing his goals. So I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about admiration for what they've been matzliach in doing in life. On the other side of the mechitza, you could ask the same question. Take some star, right? Do you admire such a person? Is there such a thing? Is there something deep inside of you that admires such a person? Or do you say, ich, nauseating? I think it's a type of question that a person really needs to ask himself every night before he goes to sleep. That, along with thinking about how he did today and all the other questions you do when you ask yourself, when you make a cheshbon on nefesh, because by answering such a question to yourself truthfully, you understand what you're really holding in life. And what you consider to be important, is it great, is it nauseating, or is it somewhere in between, and how much in between? And what am I living for? And it's an issue really that continues from what we were talking about last week, and also comes up in another issue in this week's parsha, which I'll tell you afterwards, it's a personal parsha of mine. But last week we were talking about the Tachlis Abriya. We're talking about the Ramban, and we're talking about the Mesillas Yesharim, and the Mesillas Yesharim says that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world the way that we can perceive it, however we can understand, is L'sanei Gal Hashem, that he wants everybody to be L'sanei Gal Hashem L'Yehanes Miziv Shechinasei. We're in this world to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be nene from that relationship. How we nene from that relationship? Obviously, not by trying to have enough from that relationship, because otherwise the relationship ends, like any normal relationship. The way that we develop the relationship is by doing the mitzvahs, by being Avdei Hashem, and therefore we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have a life of hanah. That's what we learned last week. The Mesillas Yesharim, the Ramchal, in Das Tvunis, he takes the discussion quite a bit further, broader, deeper. And he actually explains over there why he doesn't say that the purpose of this world is to do mitzvahs, is to be an Eved Hashem. And the purpose of the world is L'sanei Gal Hashem. Why does he make it sound so hedonistic? He explains over there because it's true. Because the reality is that there's going to be a period of time in this world's history that we don't do mitzvahs. After Tchiyas HaMeisim, we don't have Bechira anymore, there's nothing left to do. So we just sit around and chill and our nene mizivat shechina, however that's going to happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world with a plan where that's part of it too. So obviously, in the overall picture, we're here l'isan egal Hashem. And he goes on and he explains how that happens. He says that every person, well, no, is created with a guf, a body, and a neshama. The guf is very low, a piece of meat, a piece of dirt, like a cow. And if anything, it's going to pull us down. The neshama, on the other hand, that's, you know, a holy light, chelek al kamimal, quarried from the tzur, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And basically what that does is it infuses power into this lowly guf. And you could see it. He says a beautiful thing. He says, ziv panav, a person's light in his face. You see it in tzaddikim. That comes from the neshama projecting out of the guf. Your eyes are your projectors. And the stronger that neshama is, the more it projects. The thing is that this neshama is not only supposed to project, but it's actually supposed to take this guf, it's supposed to take the body, and turn it into a spiritual instrument where, you know, the whole guf is light. That could only happen after Tchias HaMesim. That could only happen after the guf goes back into the dirt and decomposes and gets rid of all the problems that it has. And then after Tchias HaMesim, so then you have the Tachlis Avriya, where the neshama shines through the guf, and it transforms the guf into being something which is totally, totally light and spiritual. Okay, great. But for now, we're still in the world where we've got this war going on. A war between the neshama and the guf. And that's where this week's Parsha jumps in. Now, Reb Hillel asks a very strong, very basic question in the beginning of this week's Parsha. Beginning of this week's Parsha, so you have an episode that I relate to very much because it has to do with, you know, the Levium. The Levium take over for the Becherim. And what happens in order to, you know, to make that transformation? The Becherim blew it because of the Chet HaEgel. It didn't have to be that way, right? But that's what happened. So that's why nowadays, you know, people are very, very proud of the fact that they're Levium. People like me, you'll never see them write, you know, Daniel Baruch HaBechor Sinowitz or whatever it is. It just doesn't sound too good, right? Because we lost it. So Reb Hillel said, normally, if you want to take Kedusha, you want to take the Kedusha of Becherim and transfer it onto Levium, what do? You'd be matfis it. Kodesh Nasa Chalipin. We had it before. You want to take Kedusha of Maisa Sheni, put it onto a coin. Kedusha Shvias, put it onto a coin. Kedusha of Hektish, put it onto a coin. No problem, just move the Kedusha. Do a Maisa Kenyan, move the Kedusha. But by the Levium, it says something else. Kaches Levium, v'koytase lohem letarom. Before you do the atfasa, before you move over the kedusha, you have to metire them. Hazele mechatas, you have to sprinkle them with the mepar aduma. Ve'aviru tara kol pesaram, you have to shave off all of their hair, all of their body hair, make them like fresh babies, or like it says in the svarim that a person's hair is the most physical part of his body. It's the guk that the body doesn't even need. So when it grows out, get rid of that stuff. He's got to be totally pure before your matris, the kedushas bechor, and put it on to the levi. The chipsu bigdayim, you've got to even be tovel his clothes, be teharu. Frank Reb Hillel, what do you need to do that for? Just be matris the kedusha, take it from this guy and put it on the other guy. What do you have to send it to the mikveh for? What do you have to shave off all of his hair? What's with his clothes? Elamai, there's a difference between being matfis kedusha from a coin or a piece of food onto a human being. Because a human being has a guf. And therefore, we got to do something extra in order for that kedusha to kick in. And that's where we get back to our issue of the neshama and the guf and everything we've been talking about up until now. I had a couple of interesting conversations this year with a person I'm close with, Talmud of the Yeshiva, going way back. And he was in my Chabura many years ago when this Shir was a Chabura, when your brother was here in the Stoma, that's the way that it was. I speak to him quite often, quite regularly. And earlier this year, he was looking to change jobs. He got a couple of very good offers. And one of them was for a very prestigious, old and eminent financial firm, you know, who he would be working for. It was the best terms. It was, you know, whatever. It was a good job. There were a couple things that bothered him about it. So that's what we talked about in the conversation. But one of them, that, you know, I'm flattered that I think that I'm like one of the few people in the world that he could ask such a question to. But he says, you know, I'll tell you the truth, it bothers me. He's a programmer, right? He's programming for them. He says, up until now, I've been dealing with, you know, all the companies that I've worked for are either in education or producing some kind of product that I, like, really view as, like, you know, as making the world a better place. Now I'm going to be programming computers so that people could go out there on the stock market and mutual funds and, you know, whatever, and just make more money. So it's not very altruistic. Like, how am I? I'm not going to be inspired. He's a very, very intelligent person. He's one of the very, very inspired person, very idealistic person. And I'm one of the only Mishigayim that he can ask a question to, because other people probably tell him, listen, you're nuts. So what did I tell him? It was the best job. I think what I told him was the right answer. I said, what's wrong? So what's wrong if you're writing programs for people to make money? The ideal is that the world should be prosperous. We make brachas, we have all kinds of mitzvahs for when people's farms are successful, because in the old days, the way that people made money was they made it on the farm. Nowadays, how do people make money? They make money by growing money. You invest, you do this, that, so you're helping with that process. Let the world be a more prosperous world. Use it for the right reason. Everyone should use it for the right reason. But as an ideal that the world should be more prosperous, that's gewaldic. Next conversation, he said, I heard what you said, but you just have to know. The people that I'm around all day, I mean, they're like the big three chevra. They don't look at it that way. They just look at it, you know, this is the tachlis abriya, you know. If I have 2 billion, I want 4 billion. And 4 billion, I want 15 billion. That's not very inspiring. That I can't argue with. But prosperity doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing. You've got to use it for the right reason. That's the important thing. And that's the battle between the neshama and the guf. The Das Tfuna says that every person in this world has a choice. He can decide that, you know, he's going to live his body. He's going to live his body. He's going to, you know, he's going to enjoy himself and eat a lot and drink a lot and, you know, whatever, play a lot and just, you know, indulge himself. Jacuzzis and saunas. But what he actually does is something very, very sad. And I always kind of, you could see it in people's eyes. What he's doing is when he's living his body, so he's got this neshama that's trapped inside of himself, so to speak. It's not really inside of him. But he's got this neshama trapped inside that has nowhere to breathe. Because it's being made subordinate to something that's smaller than it, you know? You have your kid brother, like, ordering you around. And it starts to dim and get depressed and shrink a little bit even. Yeah, you get pumped up after he dies. But that's what happens. The other choice is, of course, is that a person can live his spirit. He can live his neshama. he can decide, listen, you know, my body is just a tool and I have to do all of these things. I have to eat and I have to drink and I have to do it in a way that's enjoyable, but the reason that I'm here is for a higher purpose. Do mitzvahs, do chesed, learn, daven. And then what happens is that his neshama gets pumped up and gets pumped up and sometimes gets pumped up on steroids. Creates a zivpanim. He's happier. He shines. But that's the battle that goes on constantly inside of us. And Rav Hillel said that that's the reason that the Levim have to go through a Tara process before you just makfis the Kedusha. Because in order for Kedusha to take hold in a human being, it's not enough to just say, okay, Faye, up until now, you know, you're living a certain type of life, a totally physical life, okay, throw you into the base medrash and plop. After a while, it does happen because a person becomes more Kaddish Vitar at the same time. But you got to wean yourself off of all of the things that take you away from it. And we see it in our day-to-day life, right? It's the difference between, you know, the... It's the difference between the pre-smartphone and the post-no-smartphone, whatever you call it, right? You look at yourself differently. Feel differently about yourself. Beginning of winter's man, end of winter's man. It's a cleaner feeling. First you have to be metayer, and then after that you can be matfis to kedusha. Because the guf has to be muksha. That's why that's why Chazal tell us leNit Natera LaEichle Aman. The man had two components. It was spiritual food. It was also clean food. No grease, no calories, nothing that weighs you down. Kaddish Vitar, nothing to impede the Torah. And that basically is the way that we have to be as well. All right, but what do we do, guys? It's Thursday. Thursday means that we have, you know, seven pots of cholent up on top and, you know, whatever it is. It's like, so is it good for the Jews or is it bad for the Jews? So we already know what the Psak Halacha has to be before we start. It's for sure good for the Jews. In the old days, we used to have Avishai Goldman, Rabbi Avishai Goldman. He just left, you know, when he was a bacher, so he made up this character, yeshiva mascot. It was called the Modox. Mod Ox, right? And every Adar, he had a series of cartoons of the Mod Ox, and, you know, different, you know, soap operas. It was hilarious. I was thinking this morning that now the Mod Ox is not a cartoon anymore. The Mod Ox is like, you know, comes in frozen packages with a Kehila Shchita on it, and, you know, whatever, it goes into the Cholent. That's the Mod Ox of today. But it's good for the Jews. It's good for the Jews. If it gets everybody pumped and it gets everybody learning, so then it's great. But the question is just this. You have to ask yourself this chakira. Everybody says, are you living to eat? You're eating to live, right? The shir that we had about eating, drinking coffee before davening, right? Are you drinking coffee in order to daven, or are you davening so you can drink coffee? We had the shaila. We had, before Boko, there was Super Boko. And Super Boko, we served Starbucks coffee, which was a serious shaila as to whether you're allowed to have such a, you know, hush of a thing before davening. At least in my mind, what it boiled down to is, if you're drinking the coffee in order to learn, then no problem. You're not doing it. You're doing it as a hechatimtza. You're not waking up early to drink coffee. But if you're learning so that you can get some Starbucks coffee, that's 100% usher. If you're learning in order to get the cholent, yeah, come on, that's not what we're supposed to be holding. That's like the big three. You got your priorities in the wrong order. You're living the body. But if you eat in the cholent, if you're going to enjoy the cholent in order to inspire you to be in the base medrash a little longer, to say to your Yetzer Hara, Kaifanai say ad shiyama reitza ani, just not with a whip, with a more pleasant way of doing it. So what could be better than that? But that's the battle of life. It's the battle of life between the body and the neshama. What am I? Am I physical? Am I spiritual? Is my goal in life to be successful physically, financially, whatever it is, and to feel like I'm much bigger than everybody else about it? Everybody has to look at that. What are these people? What are these icons? Is it something that I really want? Or go out and have more money than them. That's fine. But don't use it on Facebook or whatever else, you know, whatever. Use it to do good things. Use it to fill up the base medrash and to make more tshalim of all types. Give all the rebbeim a raise. I'm making an appeal after this also. But it's Thursday and Baruch Hashem, we had a short week, but everybody should enjoy the Thursday night and everybody should enjoy Shabbos. We're looking forward to hopefully getting close to the end of finishing already next week, the Sugya Yerushalayim Midas. We're at the grand finale. Everybody have a good Shabbos.